Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
Welcome to Berean Bible Fellowship. We are glad that you have been able to connect with us today. And today we come to Genesis chapter 3. And as we come to this passage of Scripture, we come to a very familiar passage, one that many of us have known for years. We come to the historical account of how sin entered into this world through Adam and Eve. And it is in this chapter that we come to understand why things are the way that they are in this world today. All of the problems in this world find their roots. They find their origin in this chapter. Because in this chapter, we see the origin of sin. Sin which dominates this world. So understanding this chapter is essential in order for us to understand our need for a solution to the problem of our sin. God's offer to us of forgiveness for our sin. After God created the heavens and the earth, after He created the man and the woman, at the end of Genesis chapter 1, He looked at all that He had created, and He said that it was all very good. There was no conflict in this world. There was no conflict among the man and the woman. There was no pain or suffering. There was no sickness or disease. There was no sin, so there was no death. It was, in fact, a perfect world, a perfect place to raise a family, a world that was full of joy and harmony and peace. But by the time we come to chapter 3, things have dramatically changed. Things were no longer very good. In fact, they had become very bad. Life had become a struggle for survival. A struggle that only ended up in death, a struggle that we still face today. Look how far down we have fallen. And perhaps a verse in the New Testament that summarizes what happened in the Garden of Eden on that day can be found in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, where it says that through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. Sin, we might say, is in our blood. It is part of who we are. We are all sinners by nature. We are all sinners by choice. So we all reject the truth of the Word of God, and we choose to walk in rebellion against Him. And this sin all began in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, with the man and the woman that God had created to glorify Him on this earth. And so we are also told in Romans chapter 8 that as a result of their sin, not only have we been affected by it, but we are told that the entire creation of God has been affected by this sin. So now, the entire universe groans, we are told. It suffers pain, longing for things to be made right again. So, what happened in that garden to cause all of this? Simply stated, we were created by God with the ability to understand what He requires of us. He has created us with the ability to think and to reason and to choose to obey Him. But the fact is that we choose to disobey Him. And so it was with Adam and Eve. And Genesis chapter 3 begins with our introduction to someone else who was also in the garden on that day. It introduces us to the enemy of all that is good, of all that is right. The enemy of God and the enemy of our soul who seeks to lead us away from God and into sin. And in verse 1, he is called the serpent, Nahash in Hebrew, a reptile who hisses. An unusual creation of God, because this reptile had the ability to speak. But who was this reptile? Who was he? Revelation chapter 20, verse 2, we are told that this serpent of old was the devil. Diabolos in Greek. The slanderer. The accuser. The one who is also called Satan. The adversary of God. The one who opposes God. And the one who opposes us. And so, he comes into the garden disguised as this reptile. Well, now it says in verse 1, this serpent was more crafty, Aron in Hebrew. He was more intelligent. He was more discerning. But at the same time, he was more devious than any of the wild beasts of the field, which the Lord God had made. And his disguise made it difficult to see who he really was. He was a powerful angel. An angel who had been cast down from heaven because of his sin, because of his rebellion against God. And today, he still disguises himself. Sometimes we are told as an angel of light. And so sometimes it is difficult to see who he really is. Who is really behind the people and behind the events that are shaping our world? And sometimes, even those who appear to be intelligent and discerning and sincere and good are really being used by the enemy to lead us away from Christ. And in the Garden of Eden, his target was Adam and Eve. And so his target was all of mankind. His target is all of us. So we would be wise to listen to this conversation in the garden. And so he said to the woman who was alone in the garden at this time, and giving the impression that he was just a neutral, a sympathetic observer, the serpent deceived Eve and he began a casual conversation with her. And he said to her, "Indeed, is it really true? Is it true that God has said you shall not eat from any tree in this beautiful garden? Is all this delicious fruit off limits to you? What a shame. You deserve to eat of this fruit." This was a subtle beginning of the fall of mankind. Well, first, we question the goodness of God. We question the character of God. Then we begin to doubt God. We begin to doubt his word. Well, maybe just a little at first, which leads to distrusting him altogether. And finally, we choose to disobey him by valuing our opinion, our perspective above his word. And as many of us well know, it is a long way down when we plunge into sin. And it says in verse 2, not really questioning why this reptile was talking to her in the first place, the woman said to the serpent, "Well, that is not exactly what God has said. He said that from the fruit of the trees of the garden, we may eat freely. But from the fruit of this tree, which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or even touch it." Well, God didn't say that, did he? She had some incorrect information, didn't she? She had some misunderstanding of his word. They could touch that tree, but they could just not eat from it. And she continues and she says, God has further said that if we do eat from it, or if we even touch it, then we will surely die. And then in verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, "If God is good, and he is good, look at this creation. Look at all that he has made for you. Why would he withhold something good from you? Surely you shall not die. He would not do that to you. God is a God of love." Ah, here's the lie. This is the lie. There will be no judgment. There will be no punishment for our actions, even if we disobey God. You ever heard that? So, that is the enemy speaking. So the question is this. Who's telling the truth here? Who do we believe? Do we believe God? Or do we believe the serpent? Oh, I'm afraid many people believe the serpent today. And so this reptile adds this in verse 5. He says, listen to me here. Here's the truth. God knows, since he knows everything, he knows that in the day that you eat from this tree, your spiritual eyes will be opened and you will have true spiritual insight and you will become like God. You'll become like him. You'll become like the Creator. Knowing good and evil. Perhaps God does not have your best interests in mind after all. The enemy seeks to influence us, to make bad choices, to make bad decisions. And Eve made a bad choice on that day. A choice that would have consequences for her, consequences for Adam, and consequences for all of us. And so it says in verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, even though she herself had said that they had access to all the other trees in the garden, they had access to all of that fruit, but still, she wanted something more. She wanted something that she was told that she could not have. Aren't we like that? Don't we always want something more? Something that we are told that we cannot have? Then, when she saw that the tree was a delight to the eyes, teavah in Hebrew, that it was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful to look at. Well, she wanted it even more. And beyond that, we're told, the reptile had said that the fruit on this tree was desirable. Hamah in Hebrew. That it had the ability to make one wise. And who doesn't want to have more wisdom? So, despite what she knew, despite what she had been told, she chose to believe the serpent. Sounds a little like 1 John 2:16, doesn't it? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. Some things haven't changed, have they? And so despite that, despite what she had just told the serpent, that God had said about the fruit on this tree, that there would be consequences for eating of that fruit, for despite that, she was carried away by her desires. And so she took from its fruit, and we are told she ate of it. And guess what? She didn't die. Well, maybe God was wrong. Maybe the reptile was right after all. Like many people, she chose to believe the serpent. Then the serpent stepped back, out of sight. And Adam approached Eve, and she gave some of this fruit to her husband. Her husband, who was now standing there with her. He wasn't deceived by the serpent, we're told in 1 Timothy 2:14. Why? Because he was not there for that conversation with the serpent. But we are told the woman was deceived. But being influenced by the woman. The woman that he loved. The only woman on earth. His wife. What did he do? We're told he also ate of the fruit. He chose to listen to her rather than to listen to God. And then it says in verse 7, in an instant, in a moment of time, their spiritual eyes, the spiritual eyes of both of them, were opened. Things were no longer the same. Things were no longer the same between them. And they would never be the same again. It is a long way down into the pit of sin. And then they knew that they were naked. Why? Because their minds had become polluted and defiled with thoughts that they had never had before. And so in an attempt to cover their shame, they sewed fig leaves together. And we're told they made for themselves loin coverings, hagorah in Hebrew, a very wide belt. Well, they could attempt to cover their bodies, I suppose, but they couldn't cover their sin. And so on that day, Satan gained a foothold in this world, and he continues to deceive us to this day. And though it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, that we are not ignorant of his schemes, the fact is that many people are still ignorant of him. The serpent brings confusion and chaos. He brings sin and death, while God brings order and stability and wisdom. He brings life. He brings eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.